Angry or not, my only immediate recourse was to just get on with it until I could figure out some way to get out of it. I wouldn't begin regularly seeing a neurologist for several more years, but the original diagnosing physician had given me prescriptions for two different PD medications. Sinemet, the brand name version of Levodopa or L-Dopa, and another called Eldapril, generically known as Selegiline Hydrochloride. Each acts differently within the brain to help mitigate symptoms, and they are just two among an ever-increasing number of commonly administered pharmaceutical therapies. Some work better than others, some not at all, depending on the patient and the severity or idiosyncrasies of what is, for all practical purposes, his or her own personal disease. The doctor wanted me to start on Eldapril, which can ease symptoms by delaying the breakdown of what dopamine the brain still produces. I took Eldapril for a while, maybe a week, and found it had only a minor effect on the escalating tremor in my left hand. Again, it's important to emphasize that every patient experiences a unique manifestation of the constellation of symptoms that fit under the general umbrella of Parkinsonism. By the same token, every patient reacts differently to treatment, so it's crucial that he or she work closely with a neurologist to find the most effective way to manage the disease, not to mention strike a tolerable balance between the benefits and side effects of various drugs. If I had followed this sensible advice, my experience with Eldapril might have been more successful. But I was looking for more immediate results. Basically, I just wanted the symptoms to go away so I could forget about the whole mess for as long as possible, and even more important, keep anyone else from noticing. So it was on to the next drug for me. The first drug approved specifically for Parkinson's in 1970, and still the most often prescribed PD medication, is Sinemet, Levodopa. Sinemet is taken up by the brain and changed into dopamine, the neurotransmitter that a Parkinson's patient can no longer produce in sufficient quantities. In most patients, Sinemet significantly improves mobility and allows them to function almost normally. As Parkinson's disease progresses, however, the drug often proves less effective, making it necessary to take larger doses, thus heightening the risk of debilitating side effects like dyskinesias, involuntary movements, and tics. For this reason, some doctors try to postpone their patients' use of Sinemet for as long as possible. It's also an accepted truth that if Sinemet succeeds in relieving your symptoms, that removes any doubt you have full-fledged Parkinson's disease. So I had decidedly mixed feelings the day I first took half a Sinemet pill, and after approximately 30 minutes, found that the tremor had vanished and didn't return for almost 5 hours. The bad news was obvious. Here was yet another confirmation I had Parkinson's disease. The good news was, now I could hide it. Given what I do for a living, the very notion of hiding seems, on the face of it, ludicrous. The expression hide in plain sight pushed to the extreme. But I never gave a second's thought to sharing my diagnosis with anyone outside of my inner circle of family, close friends, and trusted associates. I saw absolutely no compelling reason to do so. I didn't, and still don't, feel as though I was deceiving anyone by not immediately going public. This was my problem, I'd deal with it. With Sinemet, I now had the means to completely mask symptoms. If my employers didn't notice any difference in the way I performed my job, and for the time being anyway, there really was none, then I had no compunctions that I was somehow peddling damaged goods. Since I didn't yet have a neurologist, I didn't even have a regular internist in New York where I was living most of the time, I had my general practitioner from California prescribe Sinemet whenever I needed refills. I carried them around, loose and broken, in the pockets of my shirts, coats, and trousers, popping them in an admittedly haphazard fashion until I achieved the desired result. I was a young man with a brand new family. I had work to do, and I intended to pretend as if none of this was actually happening to me. Following his surprised pronouncement that I had PD, that very first diagnosing neuro offered what I assume he considered an upbeat prognosis. With proper treatment, he promised, I see no reason why you can't have another 10 good years of work ahead of you. 10 years. I had just turned 30. There was a rueful irony in the prospect of having to retire at 40. Jokingly, I had been announcing for years to disbelieving friends that 40 was the age at which I intended to pack it all in, retreat with my family to our farm in Vermont, and pursue other interests. We'd all share a laugh. It was, of course, an idle threat, a fantasy of seizing control over the vagaries of show business. I can quit and live life on my own terms. But now, confronted with terms far harsher than those dictated by a fickle public or the box office bottom line, what had been a hypothetical and voluntary fallback position was suddenly my fate.